Coming up this week, the way we're talking about EVs is wrong, and I'd like to propose some changes. Well, hello, friends, and welcome to episode 186 of the EV Resource Podcast. I'm Zach Hurst, and each week I bring you the latest EV news, information, and interviews with industry experts. And yes, I believe the way we're talking about EVs and communicating with the public is absolutely wrong, and I know that that is a bold statement. That's not lost on me. However, it's not meant to be provocative, but rather an urgent call to re-examine and realign our conversation regarding electric vehicles in order to appeal to a broader audience. There's no denying it, the automotive world is going electric. That's the way things are happening. But as we make this shift to greater adoption of the technology, our conversations that we're having remain anchored in what appeals to a rather narrow audience, the innovators and early adopters. But here's the thing. We don't need to appeal to those groups anymore. Many professionals agree that we've come mostly through that early part of the adoption curve, and we now face what is referred to as the chasm or the gap. This is a space between the early adopters and innovators, and the next group, the early majority. If you're like me, you likely believe that in order to cross this chasm, we need to pause and reevaluate the way we're communicating about EVs. What appealed to early adopters, who are typically the environmentally passionate and tech enthusiasts, is not necessarily what will appeal to the early majority, the pragmatists seeking practicality over prestige, familiar reliability over dramatic revolution. They're not looking for the next big new thing, they just want something that's going to work. Now, feel free to disagree with me, but I think it's time to steer the conversation towards this next group, meeting them where they are by emphasizing the everyday benefits of EVs that intersect with their current values and needs. Now, I've been working on this a lot, and I believe that I've been able to dissect the failings of the current narrative, and I'd like to propose a new path forward, one that resonates with the broader audience now poised to drive the EV market into the mainstream. While the environmental and technological benefits of electric vehicles have absolutely captivated innovators and early adopters, these selling points don't strike the same chord with the early majority. This next group of adopters isn't motivated by being at the technological forefront or by making an environmental impact. And that's not to say that they won't enjoy the latest tech features or feel better knowing that they're making a difference with the climate. These just aren't their primary reasons for taking action. Instead, their decisions are grounded in practicality, reliability, and value. They're motivated by what's in it for them and their lifestyle. The early majority represents a pragmatic segment that waits to see whether a product proves itself reliable and beneficial in everyday use before they decide to make the purchase. They rely more on reviews from peers rather than endorsements of environmental advocates and the EV ambassadors. For them, an EV must first and foremost fit into their life as a practical choice. The fact that it's electric is almost a secondary benefit. They need assurances that an EV will integrate seamlessly into their lives without demanding sacrifices, require steep learning curves, or costly lifestyle changes. And that includes money and time cost. While they might not outwardly ask others or even consciously ask themselves, they have questions like, will this vehicle fit my daily routine? How does it compare cost-wise with traditional options? Is it convenient and easy to maintain? These are questions that our communication needs to address head-on, and while we all inherently know this, our conversations aren't reflecting this knowledge entirely. We're still spending a lot of time talking about the tech features, and I know this will probably ruffle some feathers. We're talking too much about the environment and the climate. This next group, that is not what is important to them. We need to refocus the narrative to spotlight the inherent practical benefits of EVs, like lower running costs, reduced maintenance, the convenience of home charging. And I know we talk about these things a little bit, but that needs to be the entire focus, not with everything else wrapped into it. And doing this will bridge the gap to the early majority. It's about presenting EVs not as a leap into the unknown or as something entirely new and different, but as a smart, logical progression in transportation that is a small step forward that will make their lives better. I believe the wrong questions are being asked about EVs. In transforming our communication strategy to resonate with the early majority, a detailed exploration of the most common questions about EVs is of paramount importance. And we all know, those of us that are in the EV industry or have been EV owners for a while, we know what the most common questions are that people have about EVs. And while they seem on the surface straightforward, I believe they often mask deeper concerns and reservations about transitioning to electric vehicles. I believe the best way to address these concerns is to craft the conversation in such a way that it mirrors the way we talk about internal combustion engine powered vehicles. For example, when potential consumers ask, "How far does it go?" they're not just seeking numbers. There is very little benefit to sharing the EPA range estimate, which is usually wrong, or going into elaborate explanations of all the variables that affect the distance that an EV can travel on a single charge. When somebody asks what an EV's range is or asks how far it will go, they're likely really asking, will this do the job I need it to do? Will it leave me stranded or stuck in a situation that I won't like? Will it fail me? And the answer to those questions is the same as if we were asking that about an ICE vehicle. When we get low on fuel in an ICE vehicle, what do? We find a filling location and refuel. But how often do we actually stop and think about how far we can go before we have to do that? Usually, we don't. In fact, if you ask most people how far their ICE vehicle can go on a single tank, they likely wouldn't be able to give you an exact number for all of the same reasons that we shouldn't be giving an exact answer when they ask about EVs. Range in an ICE vehicle doesn't really matter because you can usually refuel almost anywhere whenever you need to do so. While this isn't as easy or convenient currently in an EV, the reason for that isn't because of the vehicle itself. It's because of the need for further build-out of recharging infrastructure. That being said, for the majority of people in North America, about 60% or so, they can recharge overnight at home and have more than enough energy stored to handle their daily travels for the very next day. While I don't have exact numbers, I believe that of the next adoption group, a large percentage of them will be able to do this. For those that cannot, we need to shift the conversation to infrastructure and not give the impression that the vehicle is incapable of traveling any distance because it's electric. And this touches on why I believe that talking about range with an EV is actually detrimental to consumer confidence and prohibits EV adoption. We shouldn't give someone the impression that an EV is inferior to an ICE vehicle when it comes to getting them to where they need to go. The challenge isn't with the vehicles at all, but with the infrastructure supporting them. So when someone asks, how far does it go, what should our response be? I believe we can approach this in two ways. My first thought would be to ask a clarifying question, like, when you ask how far it will go, are you worried about being stranded, or do you want to know if it'll work for your usual travels? And they'll probably pause and think about what they really mean by asking their question. And that gives us an opportunity to address the real legitimate concern that they might have. Instead of answering their question with a direct answer that offers no value, we need to answer the underlying questions that they have. And the second potential way to answer this question could be anywhere you have electricity. And yes, I know that seems a bit flippant, but we need to redirect the conversation to highlight the real challenge that needs to be overcome. Further, I believe we need to shift the conversation away from range entirely and instead approach this conversation about EVs in the same way that we do with ICE vehicles. The real question shouldn't be how far can it go, but how efficient is it and how big is the battery? And this mirrors the questions that we have about ICE vehicles, like how many miles per gallon does it get and how big is the tank? I think it's probably safe to assume at this point most people understand what MPG or miles per gallon means and how it relates to whatever vehicle they're driving. combined with the fuel gauge, and yes, sometimes a display of how many miles are remaining until empty, the average consumer is fully equipped to handle driving their vehicle without running out of fuel in most cases. And guess what? It's exactly the same with EVs. If we were to talk about miles per kilowatt hour, like we talk about miles per gallon, and battery size, like we talk about fuel tank size, we would reframe the conversation in such a way that is familiar to the majority of people and easier to understand. Now, the real concern isn't really with the vehicles themselves, but instead, the problem is that we don't have enough infrastructure, and most people aren't aware of where the existing infrastructure is even located. Studies have shown that awareness of infrastructure is actually just as or more important than building out more sites. If we were to build more charging sites, as we are, but the average person doesn't see them or know where they're located, then it really does nothing to push EV adoption forward. In fact, one study from California comes to mind where surveys were taken to gauge the awareness the public had about the EV charging infrastructure in the state. Responses to this survey revealed that a major hurdle to adoption in the public mind was that there were not enough charging stations. However, years later, after doubling the amount of charging stations in California, the survey was redone and public perception was actually worse than before. Why? It's because people didn't know where the charging stations were. They weren't where you'd expect a gas station to be, and there weren't large, clear signs pointing them out like we would see for a gas station. The ways to address this go far beyond the conversation that we're having about EVs, and I'll save diving into that for a different podcast episode down the road, maybe. But how do we change the actual conversation? Sure, we can invite them to download any number of various apps that show where all the charging stations are located, but I also think that we need to tell them where to expect an EV charging station. It really could be that easy. And of course, the number one place that most people will charge their EVs is likely one of the last places they would expect to refuel their ICE vehicle, at home. If we share success stories about the ease of recharging at home overnight and share the feeling of satisfaction when we wake up with a full battery, it will help reassure people that driving an EV is in some ways easier than driving an ICE vehicle. Everybody, I have to apologize. I am coming down with something. I'm not feeling really good at all. In fact, I'm dizzy. I'm starting to get all sweaty, and you might be able to hear my voice is fading. So instead of waiting even longer to publish even this much, I'm going to record the rest whenever I feel better. Hopefully tomorrow, maybe the next day. I don't know right now. But I'm going to finish later. So we'll consider this part one. There is a lot more to this. And I am, even though it doesn't sound like it, I am really excited to bring it to you. I'm just not capable of doing it right now, but I wanted to get something to you now instead of having you wait even longer to hear from me. So I will be fine. Don't worry about me. I hope you're all doing great. And I will continue this as soon as I'm able. So stay tuned. Thank you.